Permit me to read briefly from Matthew's birth narrative of Jesus the Messiah. Now, the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with a child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son. You are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." Throughout the last years of my ministry here at Grace Lutheran Church, I have prepared a different sermon for each of our Christmas Eve services. The practice began one Christmas Eve when one of our choir members, his name will remain anonymous, swiped my handwritten manuscript from the pulpit, forcing me to wing it.
I gave it back to you.
Like the angelic choir in Luke's version of the Christmas story. Since I am in the habit of spending much study time with a biblical text I am to preach on, the loss of a manuscript was neither a source for panic nor despair. To me, it was, at the time, a needed challenge. Another challenge for the preacher on Christmas Eve is the worshipers gathered for a joyful worship celebration. Scott's tremendous musical talent and leadership, our beautifully decorated and candlelit sanctuary, provides just the right environment that a pastor's message cannot compete with, and rightly so. I have learned that Christmas Eve sermons cannot be too long or too theological. Adults, like children on Christmas Eve, are impatient and excited to get home for Christmas. So tonight, I'm going to be brief, and as public speech teachers encourage, to the point. The point of Matthew's short birth story of Jesus is to prepare the reader for the gospel to follow. With this introductory story, Matthew offers us a fresh look at the many ways God is revealed to us, often in unexpected places and people. Take Mary, Joseph, and their child. They look like a lot of other folks of their time, and even a lot like us. In this text, we see that God uses what looks to be insignificant to reveal what is significant. Matthew's purpose is to demonstrate that Jesus is, by virtue of Joseph's naming, a son of David, and by Mary's pregnancy and delivery, a son of Abraham, a person like us. Matthew's story is packed with meaning and purpose. God, for Matthew, is active in history. Mary is an instrument of God's grace. Joseph is portrayed as a man who trusts God, and Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. At the center of the story is the overwhelming experience of believing and trusting in God. This is what Christmas is all about. Another way of understanding Matthew's version of the Christmas story comes in the names of its three main characters as they appear in order in the text: Mary, Joseph, and Jesus. For Matthew, names must speak louder than words, because in the text I just read, And the Lucan text before that, Mary, Joseph, and of course the baby speak no words. Names are special, even in our own day of seemingly untraditional and unusual children's names. Our own family was surprised 2 weeks ago today when our third grandchild was born. Well, that wasn't a surprise, but his name was. I was all ready to anticipate the boy being named Owen Clark Rickards after some people in our family tree, and getting used to telling others that our grandchildren, Harper, Graham, and now Owen, are almost proper English names. However, there was some room for doubt when our daughter-in-law suggested that she might name her child according to what she saw in him at his birth. The name Bo took us by surprise. But when we saw his first picture, we could understand why she chose Bo, as in B-E-A-U, a beautiful baby boy. So Bo he is, and hopefully Bo he will become. The importance of names is a powerful and significant thing throughout all of the Bible. Names convey either physical features, the future, or a powerful statement about God. Take, for example, the names of the Old Testament's two major prophets, Moses and Elijah. Moses literally means draws out of, and Elijah translates as, "The Lord is my God." Moses was placed, as you remember from your childhood stories, in a waterproofed basket to escape Pharaoh's decree that Hebrew male babies were to be killed to decrease their threat to Egypt's security. Ironically, Moses, the baby in the basket, is rescued by, of all people, Pharaoh's daughter, who names him Moses because she draws him out of the water. And it's no surprise that Elijah grows up to become the prophet who worships Yahweh alone and refuses to bow down to other pagan gods. In the New Testament, we come upon Peter, who is nicknamed by Jesus the Rock, or Rocky, and the early evangelist Barnabas, who is lived up to his name, which means the encourager, and all of us need one of those in our lives. Tonight's text informs us that Joseph is instructed to name Mary's child, thus legally adopting him as his own son and bringing him into his lineage as a son of David. Then there is, of course, the name he is instructed to give, Jesus. There is a contemporary gospel song that sings, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus." There's something about that name. Indeed, there is. The name Jesus, as we will come to learn about, his life, ministry, his death and resurrection, means Savior, the Lord's helper. That is the good news of Christmas. Jesus is our Savior, our Redeemer, our Reconciler, our means of salvation. Let us also not forget the other two names that appear in Matthew's birth story, Mary and Joseph. What do you think their names tell us? Did you know that Mary's name in Hebrew means bitter? Let's face it, her surprise pregnancy and the scandal it could have raised would have left Mary a very bitter woman when she was abandoned by Joseph and her town. But that's not the way she took it. According to Luke, when Mary received the news that she would soon carry and give birth to a baby boy named Jesus, she didn't wail in despair, But she broke out in song, "From now on, everyone will consider me highly favored." And she was right. Her name would not mean bitter anymore, but blessed. And Joseph, his name in Hebrew meant, "The Lord will add." The Lord will add. His name means that God will give more. When it comes to our own salvation, we do not have enough. We can't do it on our own. But God will give us more. And in the person of the child named Jesus, God gives us more. God gives us grace. God gives us life and salvation. Jesus, the one who saves. Emmanuel, God with us. The greatest gift of Christmas. Who comes to us as one of us and leads us through all the days of our lives. What's in a name? In Jesus' name, everything. Amen.